When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Moan's going to spend this whole episode just nervously looking outside his window. There's weather coming to Hendersonville, Tennessee, is there not?
It is. I think we've had weather across the United States at this point, man.
We had some last night, even here.
Yeah, I heard Michigan went through like a state of emergency also, which that type of weather for them is weird. I'm sure I put it in emergency too, right, DK?
Absolutely. It's really weird for anything to hit Pittsburgh. We might have the safest weather in the country.
And yet
here we were at like 2 or 3 in the morning going, whoa.
That's what Dolly was telling me. Y'all had a light show.
It was something. It was something. Are we ready to start this show?
Either way, yeah. I got this happy bell here. Let's do it.
You do?
All right.
This week is a fun week on South Water Street. People with the Steelers, they really rev themselves up for this because it's just so different than any other week. It's rookie mini camp. It's all these guys that you just drafted, plus all the guys that you didn't draft. The 20 so undrafted free agents who come in and they make for a camp. No veterans, no second year, no nothing. Moan, what is that like? Is it like first day of school?
Man, it is. And what's crazy is that I've been in town, DK. By the way, it is hump day. Also, hit that like and subscribe button. Y'all know the rules of this thing, okay? But it's like another team out there on the South Side, DK, whenever they're out there. You don't realize, and I know we all see that big old number there, that small number that they put up every single year, only 1% of guys making. He was like, well, where the rest of them are? Where are the rest of them at? Well, they're in rookie mini camp training camp, rookie mini camp with teams is where they are. It will legitimately be tryout quarterbacks. There will be tryout linemen. There will be tryout defensive linemen and secondary and wide receivers. And they may pluck one or two guys from that group, DK, that have made teams in years past in Pittsburgh. But it's like the first day of school is what it's like. They're wide-eyed. They have no idea what they're getting themselves into. And they're all out to go prove something, DK. It is it's like herding cats is the way it is for rookie minicamp, okay? It really is.
Well, when you look around at which guys are just – they're in disbelief that they're actually there. Like, they know they have a 0% chance of making the team, but they're just looking around going, whoa.
Yeah.
And this is actually the pinnacle for them, just making it to a rookie minicamp.
It is, DK. And what's even crazier, I can spot a rookie on the field just by looking at them. Can you imagine what I can spot when I see them in our building and they have no idea what's what? Like, it is insane. And here's the other thing, too. It is a dirty side of the game, the business of football. Like, a lot of these guys, DK, is just to get you through the weekend so that you can really look at your rookies and have the coaches in a coaching setting, DK. Yes, they are looking for some guys. But if you've seen some of the body types that are out there when it comes down to rookie minicamp, it is eye-turning, DK. Let's say that. Like, there's a difference from the ones that can and the ones that can't, man.
Well, that reminds me of something that you once told me that Mike Tomlin had mentioned to you very, very early in your professional career, where I can't remember exactly, and I'm not playing here. I actually don't remember the exact terminology, where he admonish you to make sure that you believed in yourself. What was that?
Oh, He came to me one year. It might have, I think it was closer towards the end of the season, or may have been the end of the season, DK. And he said to me, because we were talking about meetings or, you know, postseason meetings and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And he said, Mo, you never really realize your talent. I was like, what are you talking about? He said, just the same as somebody can run a 40 fast, bench press the world, jump out of the gym, right? He's like, your mental toughness is just as much a talent as somebody running, jumping, and lifting. And it never registered to me, DK. It never registered to me in my whole playing career until he said it. Mental toughness is just as much a talent as throwing the football.
But there was a phrase that he was admonishing you with in Latrobe specifically.
Oh, I got that one.
Go ahead.
Don't take it.
Don't take it. Yes, that was it.
Don't take it. He played those games with me, which was good. Don't take it every single day for about 3 years.
Because you got knocked back a little bit in the first
On the first day. I took it, man. The story goes, first day in pads, after practice, everybody go meet in those classrooms in Latrobe. And in those meetings, Coach T will always hold people accountable, okay? He puts you up on the whiteboard, on the white screen. And there was my picture up there with do not take it or don't take it. And I was embarrassed because I got worked by Kiesel, by Hemp, by Kursky, by Hokie, bro.
What a crime. As if those guys suck or something, right?
Oh, my gosh. But what he's basically telling me, though, DK, is, look, Mo, you can do this. Why are you letting these guys put you in the mixer? And that stayed with me, DK, for all of my years, man. Legitimately, don't take it. And what's crazy behind that is we used to find a guy every single year. Had to be undrafted, a low-round guy. So 6-7 rounder or free agent that we'd also make our day ones. And in day ones, it would be the don't take it guy. Rosie ended up being the don't take it guy in camp. Rob Golden was one of those guys. It was a multitude of dudes who was the don't take it. BJ Finney was another one of those, hey, don't take it type of guys, man.
It's amazing how, if you think about the stature of this head coach, how long he's been around, that he'll keep his eye on, no offense here, but he'll keep his eye on the people that we, the reporters, are considered to be nobodies. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's how you identify a Ramon Foster, a Jaylen Warren, you know, a James Harrison,
okay, Knicks.
Rosie Nix. And you say, hey, this is how we do business here. Everyone who comes into this building has an opportunity. It's not an equal opportunity, okay, but it is an opportunity. And he makes sure that you know that he sees that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And here's his reasons behind it. I don't know if he's ever admitted it. He somewhat said it to us in those meetings, man, was this. It's because he was one of those dudes. In today's game, he may have gotten a better shot because he came from what school did Coach T go to? St. Mary? No, not St. Mary's. He ended up going to
William & Mary.
William & Mary. It was a Mary in there somewhere.
Yeah,
he ended up going to William & Mary. And back then, you had to send in VHS or have a scout come to your school to see you in those types of situations. So his ability to be seen, I think he somewhat always felt like in this era, he'd have had a chance. So because if you can find a small guy or a late round or talent.
That's interesting.
Is where he will always try to figure out who is my guy. Eli Rogers, another one of those dudes that Pittsburgh got good plays out of. I mean, Fitzgerald Toussaint, that's another one. I got one of the more ultimate ones that played my rookie year as a rookie, Isaac Redman.
Oh.
Where do you find Isaac Redman at? Boise State?
Yeah.
You know, that guy won games for us, man. But Isaac was one of those dudes that wasn't afraid of competition in camp. All the dudes that I'm mentioning, man, knew they could play. It was all about what you just said a second ago, DK. It is the opportunity. You get a chance, man. And some dudes walk inside this weekend. Some of those rookies, DK, will walk inside that building this weekend and automatically think they do not have a shot. They will.
And guess what?
What?
If they think that, then they don't.
They're cooked.
Yeah, that's what has to happen here. When we come back, we're going to get to the only segment that matters. We have a special guest here in-house.
Hey, that's a moan, though.
With stuff to share. It is. Let me, a little rusty here on the Here it comes. Okay. It's the only segment that matters. Hey, Mode. Okay, bye.
At DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
Now, we don't give that narrator of that commercial enough credit. That's one smooth voice.
Yeah, and so much so, you can almost just, you can sing along to his words. Just, yeah, that's it right there.
Because I'm feeling it, you know? I'm like, that guy is somebody like who, if you said dog to them, he would spell it D-A-W-G. That's how cool that guy is.
We can we try to be that cool. You know what I'm saying? We try.
It doesn't quite happen. Mm-hmm. We have a special guest in here today.
Talk to me. Who we got,
DK? She's here from Mississippi. She is a devoted follower of the show. She is the creator of the violin concept.
Hey!
Oh, look at that face. This is Renee Kelly is here. I'm going to slide out of the way. And Renee is here. Woo!
Woo! Yeah. Hey, Mom.
Hey, Renee. Look, look.
Oh, I know.
That is too. I got mine. Who?
Got my Hey, Mom.
That is awesome. Thank you, Renee. How are you today?
I'm good.
Brought us this. Wait, try to get all this into the camera shot. Look at this fancy flower arrangement with the Ramon Foster logo over there. Look at
far
that.
Too kind. That is freaking awesome right there.
Dressing up our podcast studio. What you got for him?
What you all got? Right.
So my question is about the weight room.
Yes.
Like at the state, I mean, at the sports company, I'm sure it's big, but how do you get 53 plus a 16 in?
You bring guys in waves. First and foremost, there is a downgrade going from college weight rooms to NFL weight rooms, but the numbers are also less too. College has to sell you on the theatrics of, hey, we want to recruit you to come play at our university. So they make it all extravagant. Usually NFL locker rooms and weight rooms are smaller because the numbers are also. But what usually happens is the rookies come in early and then the vets after them. Like the rookies do not, and the young guys, probably up to year three, don't have much of an option to come in late to where the vets can, you know, mosey in a little bit later, probably get their workout in before practice. Well, rookies have to come in by 6:30, no later than 7, to get their workout started. So it's layered. But it'll never be where college is. So you can put 90 people in the college weight room. It's just staggered. And here's the other side of it too, Renee. When it boils down to guys getting in the weight room, you learn who the true pros are, because the guys that don't love the weight room and want to play around in the weight room, it can still get somewhat crowded. And those dudes choose not to do all of the workouts too. And those dudes end up getting the gold boot out of the NFL too.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thanks, Mom.
No, thank you. That was awesome. Question.
So nervous. About hilarious. That. She's nervous.
Put her on the screen, DK. I love it.
She told she was thinking about what to ask you for like the entire drive.
We've never had that question asked, DK. And
he's never had that question asked. This is, you know, especially in a time where, you know, the Steelers facilities and so forth have been called into question. I think to be clear here, when you're talking about downgraded from college to NFL, you mean in size.
DK, and hear me out.
Go ahead.
Technology and the equipment.
Technology too. And everything. Yeah, well.
It's different.
it's something that the Steelers obviously have, you know, I guess to some extent acknowledged that they need to address.
Yeah, they got bullied into it.
They got bullied into it, and then, of course, no one has to go very far to find an elite weight room since it's in the same building, and it was funded entirely by a certain number 97 of the Los Angeles Rams.
Hey, now. Awesome, isn't it?
He did, too. AD said, here it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's your to the University of Pittsburgh. Here's your state-of-the-art weight room, and it is. I've seen it.
It's a little bit – have you seen the Steelers one then? It's a little bit better than the Steelers?
I mean, again, I'm not a professional athlete to judge that. I can you can usually look at it and you can say, hey, that set of weights is more useful to me than this one. I can't do that.
Yeah, I'm gonna look it up and see.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Wait.
We have some good stuff here. Are we ready?
It's about similar.
For some hay moans. Yeah, this is – you're still doing this.
Yeah. You lift. The goal is to lift. The goal is to make sure you can do injury maintenance and prevention more than anything else. So I know a lot of fluff was made about the Steelers' weight room and stuff like that. But guys have come through that weight room, man, and never had an issue whatsoever. You know what I'm saying, DK? So it's a downgrade coming from coming from college to the NFL. That's just how it is.
Hilarious. Renee can like actually breathe now. She was next. Dolly just took her outside.
Get some air real quick.
I met Ramon Foster. This is so cool.
We talked. That was a great question, man.
Steven gets us going here. Hey, Moan, could the Steelers be waiting on June 1st to make a wide receiver move, or does the date even matter? If anybody missed it today, they did sign Scott Miller to a one-year deal. Yeah. He's another Arthur Smith guy. And go ahead.
You know, he's Calvin Austin's competition, if you're asking me.
Okay. Why do you say that?
Just because he's a down-the-field guy. When he comes out on the field, you know exactly what he is. He's your 3/4 or 4/5 to where, hey, 5-wide, you put him on the field. He's down the field, not a whole lot of yards in his career, and he's just as young, just as cheap. This is where you start to find guys that are familiar with what the offensive coordinator / new coaches want, and they start bringing in their guys to at least say, hey, I'm going to press you to show you what my offense is supposed to look like, Calvin Austin. And same similar type things, man, for sure.
Yeah. Who is the strongest player, Travis asks, on the team that you ever saw in the weight room? Come on.
If I ever saw in the weight room.
Is this a tough one?
It is, because there's different levels of it. Like, Debo is strong.
Okay.
But like the amount of weight a person. Yeah, Debo is up there. The strongest guy I ever saw put stuff on his back and on his plate was probably Jock McClendon, who was also a former Steeler for a little while, too. I played with at the University of Tennessee. Like, seeing this dude squat, I think, what was it at the time, almost 700 pounds as a college athlete or something like that at the time. And he wasn't like a long limb guy either. So his push was here and here. You know what I'm saying? But benching, man, in college, like 500-600 pounds, that was crazy. Like, I hadn't seen as much as Debo has lifted. I haven't seen his max, and that's what you asked me. What's the most I've ever seen somebody do?
I see.
Yeah.
Plus, you also would be fair to look at this by position. There are different body types and everything. You don't have a – yeah. Yeah, if you're going to look at different bench press, you're going to say, all right, here's the standard, gold standard for a wide receiver. Here's the gold standard for a nose tackle.
Ziggy, you know what I'm saying? Was super strong too. Ziggy may be one.
Is that right?
That's interesting. I got the answer. Steve McClendon. Hands down. Ox.
Steve McClendon. My goodness.
An ox. Do you hear me? Steve McClendon is probably, and you guys comparing him to James, two totally different conversations right there. An ox is what Steve McClendon was.
Chess Piece comes in and notes that between the new acquisition, Scotty Miller, Roman Wilson, Calvin Austin, even Quez Watkins, they all have 4.3 speed. Russell Wilson can cook with them, Chess Piece says. Trust the process, speed kills. How do you utilize that speed, though, Moan? It's one thing to have speed, and it's another thing to figure out a way to use it. You know, it's not a race.
That part, to me, it's there we go, right there, DK. You look at those situations, those guys having that speed is saying, cool, how quickly can you get up to that speed? How also can you get open? That's the other side of these guys. You mentioned these guys, maybe except for the exception of Roman, right, to where size is a thing for these dudes. Quez ain't that big. Calvin ain't that big. Scotty's not that big. Roman may be the bigger one of the bunch right there, but how will they handle getting jammed at the line of scrimmage, DK? Can they separate and get open? Because the four that you mentioned, how many of them got real reps you believe? You know? Yeah, like, I like the speed, though.
Hey, see – I try to look at this in the most macro sense possible. You step back from the entire situation and you say, listen, if teams get used to the Steelers being big, 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 and they start lining up their defense accordingly, and then you have, here's Cal or Scotty Miller or whoever, and you say, find some grass.
Yeah.
Run through them. do what you got to do, okay? But yeah, utilize the speed to kind of, you know, come with a shock value to it. You follow? Yeah.
Roman Wilson, 5'11", 206, 205, somewhat of a thicker wide receiver. Out of that court that you mentioned right there, yeah, he's the bigger one of all of them, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Travis asks, do we think that the Steelers are now good on their wide receivers with the signing of Scott Miller? No.
No, give me more.
Yeah, that's not it.
So to get to the original questions, though, a post June 1st cut. I don't know what team's trying to get a guy off the roster. That's where we are right now. As it pertains to T. Higgins, DK Metcalf, or Brandon Ayuk, I don't know how much post June 1st does for them as far as money, because I don't think they lose anything. And I don't think Seattle's trying to cut DK Metcalf. His name's been thrown out there. It's the only reason I'm bringing it up. I don't have any insider stuff on that one, man. But maybe it's a veteran somewhere that's on the bubble that Omar may know about.
Yeah, this isn't it. I've seen a lot of people reacting to this as if, oh yeah, this is it. They're just gonna try to staple this all together into one wide receiver. It's not gonna happen. Yeah. Omar has one thing, the giveaway in all of this, and I keep saying this, is the money.
Yeah.
The fact is, Omar is sitting on a lot of money right now.
Pretty.
Okay. And that's a good situation. That's what you want. He's sitting on a lot of money before he's even gone to Cam Hayward.
Yeah.
To say, you know, let's talk about this $22 million. How do we stagger this out? How do we restructure this? Because he can go and get and pay any wide receiver in the NFL. Yeah. Understand that, my friends.
Facts.
Any wide receiver in the NFL. Now, you're still going to have to give up in a trade, but he can pay it.
Yeah. Facts.
Okay? That's the part that makes sense. Colton wants to know, hey, Moan, please help me make sense of not giving Najee Harris the fifth-year option.
I got one, or is it two words for you? Running back.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. You got a guy behind him in Jaylen Warren already. Not that Jaylen's your bell cow, but you don't have to. If for anything, also,
you don't have to.
Maybe they're operating in good faith. Like $6 million for a guy like Najee on his fifth-year option probably signifies, man, you're a lot more valuable if you hit the market for us. Or if you do want to come back to the table, we will negotiate for you. Hey, what's going to get him to stay, DK? About $8 million a year, $8-9 million. If you think he's that valuable, especially if you go get a rookie quarterback next year, or Russell is very team-friendly in the deal that he chooses, or Justin for that case. You got to think the situation we've had when it came down to the running back. Steelers and Omar was very much involved in Le'Veon's contract negotiating, okay? You're not going to be handcuffed, I don't think, anymore by a running back. And there's not many teams that do. Think about it. Saquon Barkley's not with the Giants anymore, okay? Green Bay got rid of their bell cow this offseason. Other teams will want that value. But the teams that originally get them, they probably have the mindset, we got our four, we're done with you. That's just how it goes.
And then there's also the very real possibility, and we've reported this at our site, that the Steelers are looking strongly into just giving him an extension this summer. This doesn't do anything. I can't stress that enough. The fifth-year option thing doesn't mean anything. There's an understanding, as Moan just suggested, that could be in place already, where they said, listen, hey, don't worry about this. This summer, we're going to do what we got to do here, okay? We want you here. We're going to get you 3 years, not this year and next year, which is what the fifth-year option would do.
And at least it cuts off the fluff, too, to where DK, been respectfully, people ask him in the media, what do you think about them picking up your fifth-year option? And when are you going to get an extension? Like, this deads that conversation where it's just simply.
I hadn't thought of that. Yeah.
When are you going to sign Najee back? It's just that simple now, you know?
If there's one player on that roster, and I say this with respect to all of the players who are there, that this head coach will trust in his mid-20s to be reliable, to be dependable, to be passionate, it is Najee Harris.
Yes,
very much so. I'm not suggesting that he is the perfect football player or anything else, okay? But the rapport, the relationship, and the trust that exists between this player and this team is like this. Okay? He's not going anywhere. This is a non-issue.
It'll be handled differently. Like, I had somebody here in Nashville ask me about the moves that the Steelers is making. And DK, all I would have to say is, think about this. When you let somebody else borrow your car, right? They're probably a little bit different than you and your car. Mm-hmm. Omar now has the car. He's a little bit different than Kev. It's all I'm going to tell you. Like, it's just that simple. Or you ruin a room worse when you're in the hotel, right? I'm not making up the bed. Somebody else is going to make it up. But at home, you make up the bed. Omar's running this the way he wants to run this thing.
Hornets comes in with an uplifting message. It says, "Hey, Moan and DK, I love watching the show as a pick-me-up after I got laid off. Mm-hmm. However, I just landed a new role. I will be sure to buy someone a drink, call someone I haven't talked to in a while, etc." That's beautiful.
That is awesome right there, Hornets. Man,
I love that.
I love it too, man. If you get you a little league team somewhere, name it the Pittsburgh Hornets. That's where we are from here on out. You hear me?
1966 AHL Calder Cup champions, by the way. Your Pittsburgh Hornets.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, minor league hockey. They were the precursor to the Penguins. They were the team that played in the Civic Arena before the NHL gave Pittsburgh a franchise. So,
okay, all right.
Hornets bring in the history with that name there. Congratulations to you, my man. Jason Williams says, "Hey, Moan, do you think getting Patrick Queen will reignite the Ravens-Steelers old-school rivalry? Does it need to be reignited?" I missed that part.
Let me get Jason right here real quick, man. Go ahead. Jason, be careful what you ask for, okay? Because in order for something to be reignited or a rivalry, there has to be a back and forth. 7 out of the last 8, Jason. So are you asking to lose more?
You just took that route, did you?
Are you asking?
I did not see this coming.
Are you asking to lose more is what you want? You want more blood and gore out there? Like, that never left that series, okay? That's all I'm saying, Jason. Be careful what you're suggesting, all right? There's a
difference between a rivalry and a nemesis relationship. And right now, the Steelers are the Ravens' nemesis, and they're specifically Lamar Jackson's nemesis. You know who had the best commentary ever between the Steelers and the Ravens when it came to one player leaving to go play for the other team was what your head coach would say to Chris Wormley in the hallways. The week that they would be playing Baltimore, he would say, "They didn't want you."
He's a sicko, man.
And you know what's funny? Like, everybody around would laugh, and Worm would laugh. You know who wasn't laughing? The head coach.
Yeah.
He would just be like, "They didn't want you. You know, that's the only reason you're here is that they didn't want – they thought it was okay for you to go to a division rival.
Come on,
DK. They were okay with seeing you 2 times a year, not once. They were okay." And you know when he would play his best ball?
Talk to me.
Every time. His two best games were against the Ravens.
Can I hit the bell for that one, man? That was a great. Hey, you took me there with that one, DK.
Chris Wormley, too. Eric Shulo remembers it. It worked, too. He would say it, and it really, really worked.
Yeah, man.
Good stuff here. Here's a good one right here. Daddy.
Hold up. Right. The Ravens are 1-7 in the last 8. Lamar's 0-3. If he played all 8, they would be 0-8. Dang, y'all ruthless. This is what we love about this show. Okay, we can talk our stuff here.
That's very, very good stuff here. Travis points out that Troy Polamalu had the greatest play ever, stopping Joe Flacco on 4th and 1 and winning the AFC Championship. That's some great, 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 great stuff here. Brian Koziar goes way back into Steelers history to reference John Kolb. Legendary offensive lineman for the team. The man competed in strongman competitions. He could probably pull semis down the street. Yeah, man, they had that team had some hombres.
Yeah.
I mean, all you need to know about the Steelers of the 70s and what badasses these guys were is to just take one look at Mel Blunt right now.
Yeah, that'll tell you. Okay. A lot.
That guy's covering me? That's the guy covering me today?
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
we got a reaction out of Jason too, man. Oh wow, it's fair.
That is
good. Lack of deep run in the playoffs take away from the fact that they have been competitive. Okay, don't let that be the case here.
Monongahela, Mike corrects us that it's not Ravens. It's actually Raisins.
It is Raisins.
As a certain fresh immigrant from Romania would call them upon arrival in 1996. Yeah. Way back Yeah, Casey Kessler points out that Mel Blunt was, in fact, a dog.
So you can read it and say it, but you can't spell it. Dog.
Yeah, it's really weird, man. It's just, okay. It just does this every time.
Okay. Can read, can say it, can spell it.
I can wear it.
It can't translate for you. Okay.
I can wear it. You see that, right?
All right. I got you.
I can wear it with pride. Yeah. We have some good questions here. Anthony wants to know, hey, Moan, what did you make of the character attack on Russell Wilson by Aditi Kinkabwala saying that he was too dumb to learn Sean Payton's offense? What was the point of it? I just don't get it. I got to tell you, I haven't seen it. I know that you have here. Go ahead. I have something to say about her, but go ahead.
That's just low. It's low. Russ being dumb is one of the most egregious things I've heard when we're talking about a guy's character. We've seen, you know, not smart players in the league. Russ doesn't fit that bill at all, man. Whether it was him or her misunderstanding, I thought it was foul. You know who else had one and two word plays?
What's that?
This guy, Ben. I'll give you a few code words right now. Black Cadillac. Okay. Red Rolex. Okay. Those are the things we're talking about. Black Tank. You know why? Because those are the plays. Russell is smart enough and has run multiple offenses to where when you get into games and you mostly get into no huddle, it's, hey, fellas, Cadillac, 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 Rolex, 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 SWAT, SWAT, Swatch. And you just go to the line of scrimmage. That to me was, that was low. I'm going to stop.
Yeah, I think I am too. I had stuff to say here. I'm not going to. It was unkind.
But it's
the
been
stuff that I was about to say. I will say out. This. He does not cover the Pittsburgh Steelers. She hasn't for a while. And I will say this. There is a reason for that. That's as far as I'll go.
Yeah, I've seen a few things as of late, and I'm with you. I'm a touch and go. That's my spill on that one.
Yeah, that's
Also the Kenny stuff. And that's it. I'm done. I ain't saying no more, DK.
We're really done with this. Hey, Justin says, hey, Moan, how does the team set the rooming assignments for Latrobe? That's interesting. Are Troy Faoutanu and Zach Frazier going to room together? I guess they'd be theoretically here. Or would they be put with veterans? What about Broderick Jones and the rest of the offensive line?
I can see Zach and Mason McCormick rooming together. And I can see Troy with I can see him with maybe a vet.
But says who? Who does this?
Coach T does. He match up personalities as much as he possibly can.
The head coach does the rooming assignments.
Or the weight room guys. I think it's collectively Coach T and the weight room guys when it comes down to that type of stuff. You can suggest or ask the coach, hey, can you put me with this guy type of stuff? But legitimately, it comes from trying to make sure guys have communication and can talk to one another. And, you know, I can see Troy with another Polynesian on the team. I doubt Isaac wants a roommate at his big old age. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he'll be in good hands. Probably a wide receiver. You just never know. Pounce and AB room together rookie year, I think. And then he and I were right after that every single time. So it'll be fine, though.
All right. Jim Fairfield says, hey, Moan, why can't Roman Wilson be a number two receiver? Why can't he be that guy that everybody's looking for? He's just as big, if not bigger, than Antonio Brown, not to suggest that he's that good.
Here's the thing. He's got to go prove it. That's the thing about draft picks. Everybody's excited about the new shiny toys. Again, nobody knew what Antonio Brown was going to be, right? Or Emmanuel Sanders. I always bring those two guys up. Or even Deontay, right? Deontay had to carve that role out for him. If Roman Wilson wants to be the guy number two, then he's got to go show that. But I still, Jim, is what I would tell you. I would sleep better at night knowing that you got a veteran, proven playmaker on that team. Because that's a lot to ask of your quarterback to be dealing with that much youth, you know?
Mm-hmm. This is a good one here from Z Kane that I see that you starred, Moan.
Yeah.
Says, hey, Moan, what concerns would you have with two rookies starting on the offensive line, even if it's not until midseason? And let's throw into that Broderick Jones would be in his own first full year as a starter, it would be an extraordinarily young O-line.
That's a big feat right there. You just hope that Coach Pat Meyer has worked them, I'm talking about night and day, on being technical. That's the only thing that's going to save a young guy. They're going to get beat up. They're going to get pushed back. They got to figure out how to gel together. How concerned am I? You know, I'm an optimist. I'm pro player, and I also look towards the future. If they get beat up in year one, I expect them to be better moving forward. My thing is this. You got to have a guy in Arthur Smith who's capable of protecting those guys in protections with the quarterback and not leaning heavy on the idea that, hey, we got some really good athletes up front and they can just block their butts off. No, the NFL is a different monster. And when it comes down to defensive coordinators finding blood in the water, DK, you know like I know, they going to test those young fellas up front. So if you do got Faitano, even Broderick, and Zach, DK, look at me. I'm rubbing my hands. If I'm a defensive coordinator, even a defensive line, I am rubbing my hands together because it's time to go eat. Just sleep with that and expect them to get better.
When the NFL schedule does come out, and that's supposed to be very soon, would you like to see some AFC North early just on this count, just to get those rookies in? Or do you want to see them kind of segue their way in? I can't even guess at what your answer will be to this question. Well,
here's the thing. The AFC North, I think three of the four teams have the hardest schedules in the NFL based off last year's percentage.
Yes.
So they're going to get good on good regardless, DK.
Because you're facing each other.
But yeah, I'd love to see that. To your answer, yes. Go ahead and introduce them. There is no reason to create no anxiety, DK. Put them in the fire, man. We went through it. They'll be fine. Again, we're not looking at the product now. We're looking at what it's going to be. Put them in there, DK. Yes, give me Cleveland and give me Cincinnati in about week four. That's what I like.
Melissa's getting nervous about this wide receiver thing, I can tell. She says, hey, Moan, what do you think Omar Khan is ultimately going to do regarding the wide receiver situation? Is he going to go get a veteran? Is he working on a trade? What's he doing here?
I just had to figure out her acronyms right there, too. As is, meaning leave it. I think that's what that is. Or thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I got it. Yeah.
I picked that up right there.
As is, I didn't get.
Yeah, I don't get as is, but we'll just leave it as is.
Yeah, yeah. That's what she's saying.
All right. As aggressive as Omar has been, that's my dad joke right there. Okay.
Thanks, Dad.
as aggressive as he's been, or more active than Omar has been, I expect him to be cooking something. I want to hit up B-Mac, Brian McFadden, and say, hey, what did you mean 2 weeks ago, B-Mac?
He totally backed off of that. He said it was some third-hand, fourth-hand source. Like, come on, man. You don't put that in public.
I'm hoping, okay, where there's smoke, there's fire, and that Omar's trying to cook up something. That's where I'm at.
Omar is absolutely trying to cook up something. He gave that away. You don't need a source, third hand or fourth hand. All you need to see is that he, the night before the draft, restructured Alex Highsmith's contract when he had the least amount of free time. The night before the draft, he thought it was pertinent to go into that process with $7 million in extra cash. That is Omar buying a billboard telling you that he's in the market for a wide receiver. This doesn't require any detective work or any inside anything here. Kevin Fitzgerald says, hey, Moan, in the offseason, when do the players get back into the weight room and when do they shift back into a get-ready mode? Moan's about to surprise you, Kevin.
Players are usually in the weight room lightly from like late February, March. I know a bunch of guys now that have just now started back to lift.
And then there's those guys.
They are the pace of what you do is totally up to yourself. If you're trying to maintain, you stay at a level, but the opportunity to get better starts now, May, June, July. That's where you are for the most part. You're actively resting for the most part. The ramp up period starts from now towards the latter part of the summer when it's closer to camp. And then you back off probably about a week before training camp starts up also. It's a beautiful process.
Brian comes in with a contribution and notes that CA3, Calvin Austin, has the talent to be a more explosive Tyler Lockett, and he has the quarterback to get him there. What do you see in Cal's game where you say, Moan, here's your next step, Cal? This is where we need you to be as a wide receiver in this offense.
Where do I see that happening, yeah. man? Mm-hmm. His ability to get on the field and not be a gimmick. And here's the other thing, too. Calvin Austin is 5'9", 162 on the team official website.
And this, too, has to stay on his feet.
Yes, he does.
Yes. I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut
it. Go ahead. You got it. I'm on the same wavelength here. Yeah.
This is a talk I've had with Cal. Mm-hmm. Okay, and he has acknowledged that he can't just be a featherweight who gets tossed down as soon as there's a hand near him. Okay, and right now that's what you see with him, and that's a result. If you're watching this right now and you think to yourself, why are they even talking about this guy? Because the handful of times that I saw him with the football in his hand, I didn't see him moving for very long because somebody'd be near him and that would be that. Whereas, you know, we see him in practice and we see him in settings where he can show off that ridiculous speed. Well, that doesn't matter if you go down at first contact.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. As it is listed, Calvin Austin's 5'9", 162. Tyler Lockett is listed as 5'10", 180. So that's 20 pounds.
Very different.
To your point, you get flung at 162.
Yes, but with one hand.
Yeah.
Not by me.
Yeah. I mean,
possibly. I'm not flinging Calvin Austin.
I don't even know if it's a bulk thing. Like, I even think Tyreek is hitting, like, Tyreek Hill is hitting, like, 180s. You know what I'm saying? Okay, like, there's a difference.
There is a difference. But see, here's the thing. When I think of Tyreek, I think about his low center of gravity for a little guy. Okay. Tyreek, what you think of is that he's got the explosive legs, he's got that strength down low. He'll make the catch, but he will also run through you because you're not going to arm tackle him by the legs.
So
that's when I think of Cal, that's what I'm thinking of more than anything else here, is you got to find a way to burst through.
Tyreek's weight listed is 185.
Yep.
Like, he's heavier or thicker than Tyler Lockett. Think about what we're asking here. And this is no diss to him, just like dudes can be too big in football, right?
Mm-hmm.
162 is small in football. It just is.
For any position at any speed, it's just small.
Unless he's your Devin Hester. Unless he can create in special teams like that. To your point, DK, he better find a trick that keeps him around. What I mean is you got to pull a rabbit out of a hat and say, hey, look, I am very valuable to you guys.
Chris Fieldings asks which quarterback between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields has the naturally mental toughness that fits the Steelers team of 2024. I get a little cringy when I hear mental toughness questions about people in the major leagues of any sport. You,
right?
Yeah. The amount of mental toughness required just to reach that level is extraordinary, isn't it?
It is. Now, there's mind games you can play yourself. I know in baseball they call it getting the yips, right?
Yeah.
Like where you can't just find it, but you're trying to. Who's the naturally most mental tough? Both of them. Think about what they've been through in the last 2 years in general at each place they've been at, both of them.
I mean, you could say the easy answer, the one that you say is snap of a finger, is Russ because he's been around a lot longer. He's won a Super Bowl and everything else here. But Fields went through some stuff in Chicago 3 years. And unlike Russ, he's yet to have that I've made it moment. I'm at a level here where, okay, Russ has that to build upon. Okay. Yeah. He's been there. He's done that. He's got the ring. He's got all that stuff. Okay. Fields has yet to do that. Fields, for all we know, could be anywhere from the next Russ to the next Mitch Trubisky. And I do mean literally the next Mitch Trubisky, since that's where Mitch came from.
Oh.
So I'm not getting into mental toughness stuff here.
Yes. I'll say this. Both will be hyper appreciative if they can have a breakthrough in their career again. That's where I'm at with either one of them.
Oh, yeah. That's what you're looking for here. You want to see stuff. And it shows itself in different ways.
It will.
I mean, if you think about the mental toughness, if you had asked this question a full year ago and you had included Mason Rudolph into your question, how many of us would have answered Mason Rudolph?
Not many.
Who ended up being mentally really, really freaking tough?
Mason.
Okay.
Mason.
But in a totally different way, in a way that no one could have anticipated.
That's such a great point.
He spent 5 years just watching and learning, and then he goes out onto the field and does it. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Tube Dude says, hey, Mo, now that Roman Wilson is here, does that mean the Steelers are looking to trade Calvin Austin?
It ain't many trades going on this time of the year, period. This is the third wave, if not the fourth wave of free agency. So for the most part, teams are safe. Unless you've heard something, Tube, then I think Calvin is setting is probably at a point where he's got to prove himself to the roster. I don't know who's trading for him. If they did, heck, that'd be a steal to me, DK, if they can get something out of him.
Greg has a question, and I'm going to let you answer this one, Mo. And I'm curious, are there any local reporters or talk show hosts who aren't welcome in the Steelers locker room?
I'll put it this way. Everybody is welcome. The people that have slanderous comments or say rogue things choose not to come. The thing that you'll deal with pros and people in general that have locker rooms is this. You can talk about me if I can see you. If I never get to see you, don't talk about me. It's like, especially when it's slanderous. It's that simple. And I got a feeling who you guys may be talking about. Those types of people don't come in the locker room usually. That's usually how it goes. The locker room's open to everybody. And I've learned it's so hard for teams to take away credentials too. Like you, it's
doesn't happen.
So the credentials are out there that they're able to come. Guys choose and ladies choose not to come if they've said something bad or just don't want to see guys face to face.
Yeah, they don't show up.
They don't show up. Everybody's welcome.
Yeah, that's it. Now, on the other hand, if you do speak or write something that is critical of someone and you show up, there are occasions, I'm raising my hand here, where it's not going to be very comfortable. You know, I tell the story about Mike Mitch. You know, me and Mike Mitchell, you know, he was really upset with my repeatedly pointing out one season that he only had one pass defensed or something like that, or not no passes defensed through eight games, and he was playing safety. And man, you know, he wanted to talk about it. So me and him and Bert Lauten, media relations director, we went outside into the hallway. And I listened, and I heard everything that he had to say. He heard what I had to say. We understood that none of it was personal in either direction. Guess who I had a really wonderful relationship with until his final day as a Steeler? Just because there is a way to do this professionally and understand, I was literally citing that you hadn't had a pass defense. But you explained to me, Mike Mitch, why. And that why it might not be as automatic that a safety playing his style, his physical style, was going to be even going for the football. He, at the time, when they were still allowed to do this, was trying to rip people's heads off.
Yes. So, and that's usually where guys get upset. Like, tell the story of what you saw. And most times, EK, if somebody's ever come back at you, what is it usually about? That's not the whole truth is what they'll tell you, right? Let me explain to you why I'm not making these plays. Guys may have injuries, right? Mike Mitch may have an agenda to knock folks out, right? There's so many different other things that go into how people report or what's their reasons for bad reporting and stuff.
Yeah, this is Brian wants to know if he says, come on, there had to be one time, Moan, where you wanted to toss DK out of the room by his keister.
I did not. DK and I have always been above board, and most reporters are because, again, y'all got to realize, for the most part, unless you're a shock jock or whatever the case may be, that's how you feed your family, is your ability to build relationships and report good stuff.
I say this, and I've said this on this show, but some of the most difficult stuff I've ever had to write was in Moan's final year. Okay, yeah. Where I would be like, you know, this is not the Ramon Foster we're used to seeing. This is not peak Ramon. Okay, I wasn't disrespectful. I wasn't, you know, whatever. But you have to call it like it is, or the way I see it is all of the good things that I wrote or spoke about Ramon over his first 10 years weren't going to mean a thing. You weren't going to trust me. That was just going to be, oh, you guys are buds.
Yeah, right, exactly. So it's doing your job.
In either direction, man. That's all it is.
It's,
you know,
doing your job. Yeah. That's, and I see y'all in the comments that I ever had a bad run in with them. I'll leave that at that. I know others have, as a lot of people are alluding to one or two people in the media.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. What does this mean? Throw me out like jazz. I don't even get
on
that.
On the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, when Uncle Phil used to throw jazz out of the mansion.
I never watched that. No.
The Fresh Prince? Oh, you will binge that.
I swear.
You will binge that, DK. 100% you would. You binge that. I know you. You binge that.
That's actually very funny.
When you're going to see your son in Japan, you'll binge Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Awesome.
When we come back, we're going to take care of some business. Hope you stick with us.
No doubt.
The Ramon Foster Show comes at you every Wednesday through the off season. Whenever we get into actual football, we'll be back to a much more heated and regular, consistent schedule.
Yeah.
That's how it goes here. We had some people come in with some extraordinary contributions and gifts today.
Thank you.
Led guys. By Pittsburgh fan 412. I got to tell you, I feel like now that we have rookie mini camp coming up, and then after that, there's a series of OTAs and then the non-voluntary, if you want to put it that way, mini camp, the real mini camp that comes up before the month off. We're going to have stuff for you. We're going to have we're going to have a lot of feedback. We're going to have our first glimpses, Moan, of where everybody's lining up. You know, and I have a question for you. Even though it's rookie mini camp, even though it doesn't mean a thing, if I see Troy Faoutanu line up at left tackle at rookie minicamp this week, what does that mean?
It means they definitely going to seriously consider putting him there.
It does.
It does. What do you usually say? Don't listen to what they say.
Mm-hmm.
Watch what they do. Listen to the lies all you want to.
That's what I'm saying. Why would you not start him out, even just for these reps? Why would you not start him out at the position where you expect that he'll be? He needs every rep.
And you know what? Broderick and him are both still pretty much in college mode. Make it competitive.
How?
By letting one think the other is getting a hand up. Put them both at left. Let them fight it out and see who really is going to submit themselves, learning the playbook, being as best they can on the left, and being the best option at left tackle, DK. And you know they can go play right? They're probably both right-handed. That's a dominant side. And then you also tell them, hey, guess what?
Dan Moore's got a job locked up. That's what you tell them.
Right tackles get paid just as much. Hey.
Yep. Hell yeah, that too.
I'll also say this too. It's a good problem to have, DK, because one of the best tackles in the league, Laremy Tunsil, number 10, I think, overall pick. Got his first stab on the field, DK, in general, at guard. I think Tyron Smith also went to guard or either right tackle before they settled in. I'm okay with this. Put the best five out there, even if you got to move them inside.
Jake asks, who will be this year's Kendrick Green at fullback, meaning that kind of issue. I think we already had that for about 2 days. Right. Jalen Warren dropping that semi-bomb about – Justin Fields operating on special teams, which will absolutely not happen, but it was fun while it lasted.
Quarterbacks don't usually go do non-quarterback things.
Quarterbacks are quarterbacks. It is what they do here. Just put them against TJ. He'll whip them into shape. Yeah.
That's one way of doing it, ain't it, DK?
That is. Cody wants to know, who do you think are the chances of Dan Moore or Nate Herbig getting traded? Do you have to trade them?
And teams also know I'll just wait for them for next year, right? That's the other side of it is I'll wait on them for next year. Dan is a free agent after this year, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So why would I trade his last year when I can just wait?
At low cost.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not giving up my draft pick for him.
Now, again, Dan, if he wants to, can accelerate that. You know, he can say, hey, get me out of here.
What has happened to the last few folks that's asked to come out of there, DK?
Yeah, they are deemed to be hostages and not volunteers.
That's what I was going to say. He sent one to be a career backup behind Jalen Hurts and the other to a team that's in a full rebuild in Carolina. What are we talking about? And AB went to Oakland or Las Vegas, and we saw how that unfolded. You can ask.
That's some good stuff there. Again, thanks to everybody who contributed today, whether it was gift memberships. I see here, I want to make sure that I don't miss it, that Steven came in with 20. All of that is appreciated. The barber with 5. And we will be back. Let me double check this, Moan. Okay? Because I have a feeling that I am somewhere next week. Oh, I am. Next Thursday. Is Thursday work for you?
Possibly, yes. Should.
Okay, because I'll be in Milwaukee covering the Pirates.
Okay, all right. Let me check my schedule. And I'll get back to you, so we'll have enough
okay,
time.
Okay, it won't be Wednesday. That much okay. I know.
All right.
So, but Thursday is the day that I'm targeting right now. And we'll let you guys know. We'll put it up in the YouTube community and on our website, DK Pittsburgh Sports. We'll let you guys know when it is. We will have one next week.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, guys.
Peace.
Oh, you're going to do your – it's the
y'all know how it goes. Yes,
Friday?
Yes, it is for the week. Hey, listen, call somebody you can talk to in a while. Have a random conversation.
Pittsburgh Hornets.
Congratulations, Pittsburgh Hornets, man, on your new gig, too, by the way. That is awesome. But buy somebody a random drink. Have a random conversation. Apologize. Men, first and foremost, y'all ain't that strong, okay, to where you can't apologize for being wrong. Even if you're right, initiate the conversation, okay? Those are the things I'm asking of you. And also, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And for the ones who are without their moms this weekend, I'm praying for you. I hope you have somebody in your life that you can celebrate. Happy Mother's Day to the moms, man, and enjoy each other, man. Be good.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Peace.